coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everyone, and welcome to the Coffee Break Hour with me, Alia, and with Yosef. And we just want to wish you such a warm, warm welcome this evening. And we are really excited for tonight's Coffee Break. Although, Yosef, we always say that we're excited for tonight's Coffee Break.
But well, I think it's an exciting time.
It's just an exciting time. You're right. And you know what? This evening we have called the Coffee Break. If you ever see the title on the side, if you're ever prone to look at the title, we've called it Wait and See. Because we believe this evening very, very strongly that Abba Father is going to do something special tonight. And that all of us, we're just going to wait and see. We're just going to totally, totally wait and see. And as much as what we would, you know, do is something if we were physically together, we believe that Abba Father is going to, because he's physically with each and every single one of us, he's going to do something really great this evening. And we are totally just looking forward to that, but also know that we want every single heart to be open to the move and impartation of his Ruach tonight. Amen. So I just want to welcome you and pray that you're going to have such an amazing time with us this evening. I have to put down one disclaimer, and that disclaimer is that our cats... Our kittens are in the studio this evening, and when we put them outside, the one has learned to open doors. No kidding. So when we put them outside, the one actually physically jumps up and opens the door, and it's even more chaotic. So we have them sitting here, and hopefully they will rest. But if you hear them in the background, just don't worry about it. So Yosef, welcome to you this evening, and how are you doing?
Shalom Aliyah, and shalom to everybody else. I am doing well, and I'm really excited for this time that we always get to spend together. But you know, I think that one word that has been stuck in my head the entire day is expectancy. What are you expecting? Mm. What kind of expectancy do you have? And you know, this song that we were listening to as we played into the coffee break, he was speaking about the fact of having a new heart. About this heart that, you know, take out my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. And I feel that this evening... you know, what we're going to be talking about and what we feel the Father wants to do, I really feel that it's got to do a lot with our hearts. It's got to do a lot with a changed heart. And I feel that we are moving into, you know, a great time. And this evening, Aliyah, you know, like we said, every week we say, oh, I'm excited, or, well, I'm excited. But I really am excited. And I think we had a blessed time yesterday with the fasting. We heard some good things from a lot of people and from ourselves, too. You know, we had an awesome time in the presence of the Father. And, mm-hmm. and it was really, really, really good. I think the Father really, you know, he was walking close to us, and he's been speaking a lot of things to us. And I feel that, you know, not only was it a matter of just one day, I think it's a change. It's a change in a new direction for many of us that are going to be listening this evening. And I feel the Father is wanting us to be ready for what he wants to do. And I think that's so important. Why, you know, why sometimes he wants us to fast. You know, we fast individually often, but I think as a community, fasting together has a greater, profound benefit. And I think there's a reason for it. I really do. And I think this evening we're going to talk about that a bit. But I think that there was a real specific reason, and maybe we didn't really know when we decided that, you know, this is something that we need to do as a community. But I think now we're kind of getting an understanding, and I'm excited for that. Mm.
You know, the fasting, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone that joined with the fasting yesterday. And exactly that, we did hear from many people that they were incredibly blessed. And I pray that you were incredibly blessed. You know, we spent time just praying for each and every single one of you who was really laid in our hearts yesterday. And yeah, we were just so, so, so happy that we could do that fast together. And Yeshua knows all things, right, Yosef? I mean, Amen. Just last week he laid the fast on our hearts. And so something that I think that we should consider, you know, fasting. You just really felt that power. I just really felt that power of community, and that power of us being together. Like he says, where two or three are gathered, you know, there he is. And it was just amazing that he could just be with us, because The spirit realm is without limit and boundary and border, and physically Abba Father is just with us, just connecting us. And that's what makes it so special and so powerful that we can do this together. But let us just commit this time to prayer. Yusuf, would you like to open up for us in prayer?
Father, we want to thank you this evening in the name of Yeshua that you are with us. And Father, I want to pray this evening, Yahweh, as there is great excitement, Father, in the air. There is great, Father, an expectancy, Yahweh, for what you want to do in our lives and through our lives. But Father, this evening we want to pray, Father, that every single person that has joined us, Father, I pray that we will sit back, Father, that we will not push ourselves into places or cause ourselves, Father, to miss what you want to do. But Father, that we will sit back, Father, looking with great expectancy, Father, and a great and a deep desire, Father, to hear from you. And Father, not only to hear from you, but to have an experience with you. Father, we are not speaking this evening, Father, about experiences as we come to know them, Father, in the church. But we are talking, Father, about a life-changing experience. Father, a time where we are changed from the inside out. A time, Father, where we leave this place this evening, even though we are far apart from one another. Even though some of us, Father, are many, many miles away from each other. I know, Yahweh, that through the power of your Spirit that you can do something amazing. And I pray this evening, Father, that you will speak to our hearts, that you will speak to our minds, and that you will help us, Father, to be the people that you want us to be. But more importantly, Father, that which you have started in our lives through our prayer and through our fasting, Father, I pray in the name of Yeshua that you will bring that to completion. And Father, that you will continue to work in us, Father, and do what is necessary, Father, in us to help us see, Father, not only the time and the season that we're in, but what you want to do in our lives. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. You know what, Yusuf? we were looking around now because the cat just jumped on something really big. But who cares? We're doing the coffee break. Forget about them. We'll pick up the pieces later.
Amen.
Yusuf, you know what? I know that there was something that was laid on your heart about really, that was really quite deep, and that was really, I believe, for this evening about the presence of Yahweh that you really wanted to share with us. And we need to go in the direction that Abba Father is leading us this evening. And so I would really love for you to share that with us, because I think the presence of Abba Father is something that we are really, really, people are talking about it. Yes, we talk about entertaining the presence of Yahweh. We talk about having his presence with us. But you know what? I believe that having the presence of Yahweh is incredibly and very, very different from having the presence of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people talk about this experience with Yahweh, but it's usually just this reality that we have because the Ruach is with us, connecting us to Abba Father and sharing something with us, and we feel the Ruach. But it's so different when you feel the Holy Spirit with you as opposed to being in the presence of Yeshua, being in the presence of Yahweh. And I know that you have something laid on your heart that you really want to share with us this evening.
You know, Leah, this subject, I think we've spoken so many times on various coffee breaks and in various teachings. And this evening, as Leah said, you know, we put down on the coffee break, wait and see, because we felt, you know, let this be raw, let this be real, let us just come into the presence of the Father and speak what is laid on our hearts, as we would do. You know, many times you go to a place and you don't have something to preach, but the Father takes over, and that's what we feel this evening. And I want to share from my heart, and I pray that what I'm going to share with you this evening will stir your heart into the place where you come to understand what the Father is wanting from us. We speak about the presence of the Father. We speak about it in our circles. We speak about it maybe, you know, to our friends and our family members. But the truth of the matter is we need to come to a point where we understand that the Father is really looking at this present moment for sons and daughters of inheritance. He's looking for people who want to inherit him. You know, so often we think that our inheritance is the land of Israel. Yes, it is. But the inheritance is tied up to Yeshua himself. And it says that clearly in the Word. It says that those who pursue him, they get him. In other words, we inherit him and he inherits us. We are his inheritance and we inherit with him. And it's so important for us to understand that, Aaliyah, because there have been so many people over the last couple of months and years that have been speaking about the royal priesthood, that we are kings and priests in the order of Melchizedek. But what they don't understand is that the priesthood and the reason why the Father has been speaking to us as a body, as a community, to be priests, is so that we can serve him. We want to serve people, but Yahweh is saying, you know what, the first reason why I want you to be a priest is so that you can serve me. I desire for my people, just as Yeshua said in the book of John. He said, there is coming a time where my people will worship me in spirit and in truth. And we have taken those words and we've said, oh, okay, so I'm saved and I have the Torah, so therefore I'm worshiping him in spirit and in truth. But that's not the truth. The truth of the matter is to worship the Father in spirit and in truth means that you come to him in purity, you come to him in brokenness, and you also come to him in unity. Mm. In other words, unity is something that people look and they say, hey, you know what? There is no unity. I don't think we're going to get unity until the day that Yeshua returns. And that's the biggest lie I've ever heard. The fact of the matter is that we should be seeking wherever we are in our congregations, in our communities, in our families. We should be seeking unity, because Yahweh says that where two or more gathered, there I am. And the fact of the matter is, the Davidic covenant is all about the restoration of the house of David, about the tabernacle of David. Mm-hmm. And the apostles spoke about this and they said, hey, in the book of Acts, this is happening. But you know what? This was prophesied from of old. And they quoted the book of Amos, where it says that he will restore the fallen tent of David. David's tent was not only a tent of unity between the house of Judah and the house of Israel. David's fallen tent was a place where the presence of Yahweh was displayed for every single person to see. He didn't care about what it looked like. He didn't care about the structure. Yahweh said, you are not going to be the one to build me a temple. Don't worry about that. Your son will do that for me. But all I want you to do is set up the right way of worship. I want you to place these Levites here 24/7, 7 days a week. And the Bible actually tells us, Leah, for between 36 and 38 years, he did that. They worshiped before the ark 24/7, 7 days a week. And that was the protocol that he instituted, because the word of Yahweh says, and this is something that I find that we struggle with. The word of Yahweh says that David was a man whose heart was like Yahweh's, or after Yahweh's. But I think if we really look at David's life, we've got to be honest. What was his heart really there? Or was it that his heart was seeking after the things that Yahweh's heart was after? In other words, what I mean by that? Was his heart after the things that Yahweh desires? Do we desire the same things that Yahweh desires? Does your heart desire to see the presence of Yahweh in your community? Does your heart desire to see the fullness of his presence among us, bringing healing, bringing deliverance, bringing changed lives, bringing deliverance to your family members? That's I believe, what David was after. David wasn't after the golden box and the things that were inside of it. And I want to share this with you guys because it's important. You know, so often we forget what was actually found inside of that ark. And when we look at what was inside of the ark, we know that there was Aaron's rotting bud, and there was, you know, the manna, and there was the tablets that were there. But the fact of the matter is, he wasn't interested in what was inside the ark. He wasn't even interested in the ark. What he was interested in was what that ark represented. He could have made himself as many different golden boxes that he wanted. He could have done anything that he desired. But David's desire was to have the presence of Yahweh in Jerusalem. Why? Because he knew if the presence of Yahweh was there, they would have deliverance. They never fought wars. They never went to war during that period of time. There was peace in the land. And what I'm trying to get at is, what are we truly desiring? We say that we want to be children of righteousness. We say that we want to be, you know, sons and daughters of inheritance. We say that we want to be priests in the order of Melchizedek. But we need to understand that if we are not willing to worship Yahweh in spirit and in truth, in the way that he desires for us to worship him, we're going to be missing the mark. We are moving into a new era, a new time, where Yahweh is saying, hey, you know what? You learned what it means to be saved. You know what it means to walk in my Torah and keep my commandments. Now you need to take everything that you've learned from your salvation and the commandments, and you need to become a person who carries my presence. And that's going to cost you something, like we said a couple of weeks ago. It's going to cost you sweating for his presence. It's going to cost you understanding that you need to spend time in prayer. And the truth of the matter is, many people say, oh, but I pray and I read the word of Yahweh. But then where is the presence of Yahweh, the true presence of Yahweh? I'm not talking about, like Elias said, the tingling sensation that you get when you go into a meeting or when someone prays for you. We need to make a clear distinction this evening between the anointing that a man carries and the presence of Yahweh. The anointing that a man or a woman carries still rests upon fallen flesh. And we need to understand that. A man or a woman can be anointed for service and can carry a great anointing to do the things of Yahweh. Yet that anointing still rests upon fallen flesh. Whereas if that anointing that is on a person's life is causing them to pray, to seek the Father, to lay their lives down, it's that surrendered life, that sacrificed life, that brings the presence of Yahweh into a meeting. We need more gatekeepers, brothers and sisters, than we need anything else in this generation. We need more people desiring to carry the presence of Yahweh than just carry a theology or a mindset or a bunch of do's and don'ts. We need to have the do's and don'ts. Yes, we do. Hear me out. Without the Torah and without the correct way of understanding the scriptures, we're going to fall short. But unfortunately, people today are so focused on all of that that they're missing the point, what Yahweh is trying to do. How else is Yahweh going to show his power and his presence to a dying generation that is getting more and more wicked by the day if he doesn't have a man or a woman that's going to carry the fire? And the truth of the matter is, Aaliyah, we need to say this too. David brought the ark back there and he placed his worshippers there 24/7. But at the same time, there has to be someone that is willing to stoke the fire. Mm. And you know, even in the tabernacle of Moshe, the priests had to go continually to the menorah and they had to continually change those wicks out and make sure that it was burning. If we do not have somebody, if we do not have people today that are willing to stoke the fire through what we just did yesterday by fasting and praying, if we do not have people anymore that are willing to stoke the fire by sacrificing their time, you know, David said, I will not offer to Yahweh something that doesn't cost me something. I will not offer a sacrifice to Yahweh that costs me nothing. And we are so easily swayed by things that we listen to on the internet and preachers and teachers that we run after the preaching and the teaching of men and we miss the mark. Preaching and teaching of men is good because it helps us to stay in the path. But if that's not leading you to an intimate relationship with the Father where you desire the same things, where you desire the giftings, where you desire his presence, where you desire to have the fire in you, then we're missing the mark. And unfortunately, people settle for the anointing of men instead of the power and the presence of Yahweh.
Mm. You know, that's an important reality and an important distinction, that anointing that rests upon fallen flesh. Because the truth of the matter is that sometimes, and people have questioned it and said, well, for example, someone is maybe this great evangelist or preacher and leads so many people to Yeshua. Truly, those people truly do repent and come to Yeshua. But that person later on in years later finds out that person was committing adultery or something had happened. And then people question their salvation. Well, that guy ministered to me and I got saved. It wasn't about that guy. It was about the fact that you believed in Yeshua. And yes, the anointing was still on his life. And Yahweh still uses fallen flesh, mm-hmm. just like we see in the life of Samson. You know, a fallen person who had a lot of issues, but still Yahweh had chosen him to be a deliverer. And his power and his anointing was still upon his life. And miracles happened around him. And so we know that. But yet, Yosef, it is so important, I believe what you're saying is that we have got to a time where the Father really wants us to entertain his presence. His presence. We should no longer be satisfied with just the little bit that we have. We need to want more and we need to desire more. But the truth of the matter is that we need to build the place where the more is going to be found. Because if we don't build that place, he won't come.
Amen.
And I believe, I truly, truly believe that a big part of you know, testimonies that you hear and the revivals that you hear about is all built upon a foundation of repentance.
That's right.
And repentance, we always talk about repentance, and I kind of feel like repentance has just become a word that we just throw around and that we just use and we say, you know, you guys need to repent or we need to repent. What does that really mean? And repentance, I believe, is truly something that's felt. You need to feel it. It's not just a thing of going, well, I did this and I'm sorry and that's it. It's kind of like you really have to feel that whatever you're struggling with, you need to be able to feel the sadness of it or the sorrow of it and release it and then walk out the freedom that Yeshua brings to you through repentance. And I, because like you just said, fallen flesh, we are all fallen flesh, mm-hmm. trying to walk in obedience and trying to reach that perfection that Yeshua said we need to aim towards, that spiritually mature being. But we will always have that frailty of our humanity, which means that we will sin and we will fall sometimes. But it's about that repentance and about getting back up. But the truth of the matter comes down to now, what are we actually building? And are we building something that is real? And are we taking Yeshua's presence into the places where we go? And can people see that difference within us? Not just by the things that we say, but by what we bring when we arrive or what we bring when we get to that place. And how awesome would it be? I mean, just think about it, just for everyone listening, just to think about this. How awesome would it be to go to a place where the tangible presence of Yahweh is, where everybody is face down on the ground, and everybody, we feel Yeshua's, you know, amazing grace and presence upon us. And it just fills the room so much so. You know, when Solomon dedicated the temple, it said the priests couldn't even walk in and do their duties because the glory of Yahweh and his presence fell upon the temple. I mean, imagine how amazing that would be if we could all have that. If we could go to places where that was a reality today. And I believe, Yosef, that Yahweh wants to make that a reality again. He wants us to experience that, but at a cost, and at a thing of saying, I'm ready to build it and I want to do it. What's it going to cost us? What's it going to take from me in my life? But not only that, because you know what? In our reality, we're always thinking about me. How do I build it? How do I get Yahweh's presence? How do I love Father? How do I cleave to him? But what he's actually saying is he chose a nation. He chose Israel. Sorry. He could have just chosen Moses, or he could have just chosen Moses' family, but he didn't. He chose a nation. And that is what we need to start seeing, that we are a body, and he chose a body. Yeshua chose 12, and then he chose many more, and those people multiplied and multiplied. He wants his presence to be with the body. It's not just about individuals. It's not just about me. Yeah. I want Yeshua's presence, and I want to lay it all down and count that cost. But if we all want that, then we will bring collectively that collective desire to the body. I believe that Father said, I'm looking for a people. I'm looking for a treasured inheritance, because that is what he said. Sorry. He said to the people that I didn't take you out of Egypt because you were the biggest group of people, because you were the greatest. I took you out because you were the least, because you were the smallest. But I took you out so that you could become a treasured inheritance, a people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people. And he took all of us sitting here this evening listening. He took all of us out. And he said, I want to make you my treasured possession. I want to make you my holy nation. I want to make you together, this beautiful people that will radiate my light together, collectively, as one. And that is why in John 17, Yeshua prayed. And he said, Father, make them one as you and I are one. And then Yeshua said, I don't just pray this for those who are with me now, but for those who will believe in me through the word that they will proclaim and that they preach. In other words, Yeshua was praying for us. And he was saying, make us one. Let us be one together in unity as Yeshua and Yahweh, our Father, are one. Imagine that oneness. That oneness was so deep that Yeshua knew the thoughts of Yahweh, the feelings of Yahweh, the desire of Yahweh, the will of Yahweh, the character of Yahweh, the everything of Yahweh. And he was so one with him. And Yeshua prayed that we would be that kind of one, that we would know one another, that we would love one another, that we would understand one another, but that we would also repent together and choose the correct path and choose the way of, Father, we're going to build it because we want you to come. If we were people that were physically meeting in a place this evening, I think it would be so important for all of us to stand together and to say, Father, collectively as a group. And that is why it's so hard to do this, because we're so far apart, but collectively as a group. And maybe we, you know, everywhere where we are right now, we can say that, Father, what is holding me back from building what you want me to build so that you can come, so that you can truly come in the fullness of your presence, so that I cannot enter any place because your glory is so full upon that place. What is stopping me from building it, Father? What is inhabiting my life that is still not okay with you? And what is good, though, in my life? What is it that I'm supposed to use in my life to build that place as well? Because a lot of us have counted the cost, and a lot of the people listening have counted the cost. And I was saying I want to build it, Father. Mm. But we need to know how to build it. And where's Father positioned us that we can build it? And where has he placed us around the ark so that we know? Because the Levites that were placed around the ark each had specific duties. And they had to fulfill the duties that they had. And when they fulfilled those duties, it was then that they were all acting in unity. So each one of us has a calling and a duty. What is it that we're supposed to do?
You know, Elia, you said something about, you know, what are we building? What are we building? And those words have been ringing over in my heart the entire time while we've been sitting here. And the truth of the matter is, you know, Rav Shul says, he says, I am a master builder. That was his words. He said, I build upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles and Yeshua being the chief cornerstone. And he said, I am building. That's what I'm doing. I am building. And he wasn't talking about, hey, you know what, I'm building a building. He was talking about the fact that I am building into the lives of people. I'm building into people's lives so that Yahweh can come and inhabit that place, that temple. We are the temple of Yahweh. But that, you know, and that reminds me of something. In the book of Haggai, it talks about the fact that, you know, the remnant returned. They returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And Yahweh says to the prophet Haggai, he says to him, you know, you need to stand up and talk to these people because they are not doing what they promised they would do. They are no longer interested in building my temple. They are more interested in building their own homes. And they've come here to build my temple, but now they've got so caught up again in building their own houses and doing their own things that this structure and what I've asked them to come and do is now standing still. And then he asked the question, how many of you standing here can remember the former glory? And that this structure or this temple is gonna be nothing or is gonna be better than what you saw before. But the problem is, you see, the problem is that that's how so many of us have become. We do not have a frame of reference. And I spoke about this, remember, at Shavuot this year. We do not have a frame of reference of the difference between in his anointing or the anointing of a person or Yahweh's Ruach that comes into a place and actually having Yeshua walk right into a place, the manifest presence of Yahweh. And you know, the Bible says, it says that the earth, the entire earth will be filled with the knowledge of the presence of Yahweh, and that it will cover the earth like water covers the earth. Like, think about in the days of Noah, when water covered the entire earth, so Yahweh's presence will cover the entire earth, and the knowledge of Yahweh's presence will be known throughout the entire generations of people. And I believe that's the generation that we are alive in now, where people are going to know who he really is. They're going to have to stand and say, this is the one true Elohim. This is Yahweh. And they will not be able to deny it. And the fact of the matter is that we need to ask ourselves, have we returned and are we building our own houses or are we building a place where he can sit? You know, the Ark of the Covenant was built in such a way that it was a representation of the throne of Yahweh in heaven. That's what it was. That's why he said to Moshe, build it so that the two cherubim face inward, because that seat was called the mercy seat. The place where the high priest would come and make atonement and pour the blood upon was called the mercy seat, or you can call it in Hebrew, is called kaporet, the top part, the lid. And that lid is a representation. And then we need to ask ourselves, Elia, are we building a mercy seat? Are we building a place for Yahweh to dwell and inhabit our praises? Or are we actually building a seat of judgment? Like the seat of Moshe, for example. Are we building a seat of judgment? Or are we building a seat where Yahweh can come and dwell? And why I say that is because so often, when Yahweh is about to enter in the door, like I said last week, it's almost as if he's standing by the door and there's these rays of sunlight coming through the door and we're standing behind the door and everybody's too scared to actually open up the door. And the truth of the matter is then when we start to feel Yahweh's presence, we kind of end or we stop singing or we stop entering in through prayer and we back off a little bit. And then when somebody else in the congregation is saying, hey, you know what? No, guys, let's go further. Let's praise Yahweh. Let's continue singing. We look at that person with this undignified way of looking at them and saying, hey, you know what? That person's nuts. That person's crazy. Look at them. They're waving a flag. They're down on their knees. They're bowing down on the ground towards Yahweh. They're a little bit crazy. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. And instead of building a place of mercy, we begin to build a place of judgment. And we begin to judge people who are saying, hey, you know what? No, I've experienced more of Yahweh. I've experienced more of Yahweh than what we are doing. So guys, let's go and find the door. Let's find the gate and let's enter through it. Because Yahweh has got gatekeepers and we need to understand that. So some of us, we're settling for what we know is a certain level, whereas others have experienced Yahweh greater. And that's why Yahweh says we need the body, because together we go to the place that we need to go. Just the same as it was, you know, this week's Torah portion, Leah, was about the spies. And there were 10 of them that said, hey, you know what? No, that's not good enough. Whereas two of them said, no, the land is good. Let's go and take our inheritance. The land was filled with fruit and it was ready to go and take. But the rest were saying, no, it's not time yet. And that's how so many of us are. We're saying, well, you know what? It's not time yet for us to restore the temple. It's not time for us yet to build what needs to be built. And Paul says that he was a master builder. As an apostle, he had to break down. In many, many places, he had to go and break down. And that's what Yahweh does with us if we are willing. If we listen to all the teachings, if we listen to all the things that Yahweh is saying, he's building into us the blocks that need to be taking place in our lives. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's not what we necessarily want to hear, but it's for our own good. Because Yahweh wants to dwell within us. He wants to dwell in you so that collectively he can dwell through Israel, so that in the end of days he can say, hey, you know what? They are my people. And the world will look at them and say, those are the true children of Yahweh. Not by what they speak, not by the things that they try to do in their own strength, but by my power, Yahweh says. Not by your strength, not by your might, but by my power in you, the world will come to know that I am who I am.
You know, what's important that we need to maybe say this evening is that we're not talking about building a physical place. We've been talking about building a lot and building into things. We're not talking about a physical place. We're talking about building up ourselves. We're talking about creating a spiritual place, a reality within us, that Abba Father's ark and glory can live within us, that his presence can dwell within us, so that when we come together collectively, we build there an altar in the spirit realm where he comes and his presence is, just like what happened with Jacob when he was wandering and when he went to sleep and he fell asleep on the rock and he saw the ladder going and the angels going up and down. He said, surely Yahweh's in the space, and then he built an altar. That's what they did. Those were called altars of remembrance, where the people actually that walked with Yahweh, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they all built altars where they would come back to and worship Yahweh there. Those are called remembrance altars, and every altar had a different name in how they experienced Yahweh. And that's what we've got to build. We've got to build places where spiritually we're going to be meeting Abba Father. And that happens in a very, very real way, where we've got to be carrying Father's presence within us, so that when we come together, then Father can be there. And I believe, Yosef, as well, that this takes place through humility. Amen. Humility is the one thing. And through having an upright heart, through having a heart that is soft and tender to the Father's voice, and having a spirit that is discerning, and having a spirit that really wants to. And it's getting rid of that know-it-all attitude, getting rid of all those things that hinder the move of Yahweh among us. And the path is narrow, and we always say that scripture, and people say that scripture all the time, but the path is narrow. And if the word of Yahweh says few find that path, then we need to realize that few find that path. It's a narrow journey, but now is the time. I believe, Yosef, truly, that we have entered a different time period in this earth, and that we have entered into a very, very different season, and that the true sons and daughters and children of Yahweh are truly going to be carrying his presence. And those that don't, and those that refuse to move forward, they're going to be left behind, because the Father is going to do something very unique and very specific in our generation. That is why we are alive. We are alive in a very, very specific generation for a very specific task. And it's only going to be accomplished when we carry the presence of Yahweh. Before, perhaps it was good enough to just have the Ruach of Yahweh, but now it is going to be about the manifest presence. It is going to be the second book of Acts. It is going to be the blind seeing. It's going to be the lame walking, and not in a weird way, but it's going to be through the hidden sons and daughters of Yahweh, who I say are hidden because people don't always know who they are and don't always recognize who they are, but because they don't need big realities to make this true. They are just people that walk every day with Messiah Yeshua and in his deep manifest presence. And bringing that together is building a place for him. I believe that we really need to have that desire. We really need to have that desire to walk in His presence. And if we ask, we will find. And if we seek, He will answer us, because that's what He promises. So if we really cry out to Him and say, how, Abba Father, what are you saying to me that I need to do tonight? How serious am I prepared to take this? How much do you want me to give? What do you want me to do? This is not just about getting our lives ready so our salvation is okay, or, you know, we know we're okay, so we want to be a good person in society, and we want to function well, and we want to be good parents and good husbands and wives and good sons and daughters and all those things. This is really now about moving to the next level, stepping up and saying, Abba Father, I want to be exactly what you have called me to be. This is not just about being in the good, you know, or the pleasing will of Yahweh anymore. It's about moving to be in the perfect will of Yahweh. Being a good person, or being faithful in your marriage and all those things, that is the good will of Yahweh. That's just the basics, really. But living in the perfect will of Yahweh is going to be about how much, Father, do I have to give? What do I have to give? What do I have to do? What are you saying to me so that I can live in the perfect will of Yahweh, and so I can impact nations, that I can change things where I go to? And when I say impact nations, I mean it very, very seriously. I mean that seriously, because I've said this so many times before. 40% of the world that we live in today, think about that reality. 40%, that's almost half of the world that we know of today. 40% has never heard about Yeshua. 40%, and some of those people that have never heard about Yeshua are living in our nations. These are not people just in Southeast Asia, which is the most unreached place in the world. This is really about, Father, manifest your presence through me so that people's lives can totally be changed.
You know, Leah, you said something very interesting, and my brain tonight is like lagging behind. It really is. But the truth of the matter is that there's a scripture that came to my mind when you were speaking, and it's where I think it's found in Psalms, where he says that a broken and contrite spirit is what Yahweh seeks. Mm. He doesn't seek anything else. He's looking for a broken and contrite spirit, and that's what Yahweh is seeking. And you know, we've spoken about this often, but the truth of the matter is that brokenness truly leads us to openness. Yahweh is not looking. He knows exactly where that lost ark is. You know, there was that movie a long time ago that said the Raiders of the Lost Ark, you remember? And that everybody's been looking for the ark because they think, hey, you know what, if we find the ark, then we'll find what we're looking for. No, Yahweh knows exactly where the ark is. What he's looking for is, he's looking for a lost worshiper. He's looking for somebody like you and I, a normal human being that is willing to say, hey, you know what, I am willing to count the cost to worship my Father in spirit and in truth. I'm willing to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be just like David was when David didn't care anymore even about what his own wife thought about him, but he danced before the Father, sweaty probably because they were carrying that ark for quite a distance. He didn't care anymore about his dignity. He didn't care anymore about his kingship. He didn't care anymore about anything. What he cared about was, I want to worship Yahweh. I want to worship him in celebration, because not one person died the second time that he got that ark. Remember the first time that he went on his campaign to get that ark, someone died, and he was ripped apart. He was torn apart because of it, but it was because he didn't do what he needed to do. He thought that he could do it the easy way. He thought that he could transport that ark like he wanted to do. And Yahweh said, no ways, dude, this is not going to happen. I'm not going to let this happen. And then David does it the second time. And when he does it the second time, he realizes the value of doing it the right way. He realizes that when we do it correctly, there is this great breaking forth of Yahweh's truth and Yahweh's love and Yahweh's presence. And David didn't care what his wife thought about him. You know, the Bible tells us, as we were reading, the Bible says that they weren't intimate after that. For they weren't intimate again. And the truth of the matter is that intimacy with Yahweh, intimacy leads to a birthing. It leads to bringing forth something. And David was ready to count the cost so that he could have what needed to be in display for all the people of Israel. So everybody, it wasn't just for him. He counted the cost so that the entire house of Israel could reap the reward from it.
Mm, exactly. I think it's also got to do with the fact that that when you truly, truly just are emptied out, when you're emptied out and you really are one with the Father and you've seen Him and experienced Him and know Him, you know, your dignity is second and third best. You don't even think about it in that moment. It's just like you're just in the cloud of His presence, and you're just there with Him, and you just experience Him, and it's just like anything else doesn't really matter, because in the light of Him and who He is, it really is insignificant, and it's not even a decision you have to make. It just is, because you've actually made that decision a long time ago. And I think that was really how it was for David. It wasn't about, oh, I'm going to lay this all down and this is what I'm going to do. It was like he had made that decision long ago. So when he encountered the Father in that way, I mean, we always talk about the fact that the ark, I mean, that's your story. I mean, you love that story. And we always talk about the ark and what they actually went through to carry the ark all the way to Jerusalem, how long it must have taken, every certain number of steps they sacrificed, they worshiped, they did it the right way. So it could have been a couple of hours that this whole procession lasted. But on the other hand, as I sit here, I realize right while I'm sitting here that although that was the case, there was another point to the story. If, say, it took several hours for them to get up, David had been in Yahweh's presence for 7 hours up until that point when he entered Jerusalem.
That's right.
Therefore, everything, I mean, come on, Yahweh's presence for 7 hours. Oh my goodness. Wow. Come on. Yes. I mean, he had experienced it. He was in it. He was there. He was like, oh my gosh, everything is gone. I just want to get rid of everything because this is Yahweh. What? This is Yahweh. I've never experienced this before in this way. Man, take me back there. Take me back there. I want to be there. And imagine just, amen. I mean, it wasn't just that they had carried it, you know, and it was hard. They had experienced Him and they experienced His presence. They carried the physical presence of God with them for hours upon hours upon hours upon hours. Oh my goodness.
You know,
I just pray Yahweh does that again.
When we read that story too, we see that, you know, man is frail, but yet they carry that ark and gold is very dense. It's a very dense metal. And even when they carry, you know, we said it, when they crossed over the Jordan, they stood there for hours, the Levites, with the ark on their shoulders. Mm. And I believe that's exactly like you said. We think that we won't be able to endure it, but we can endure it. Because why? Because Yahweh gives us that ability in His presence. David was dancing and he was going like a crazy man for hours, and his wife looked at him and thought he was nuts. But the truth of the matter is he was experiencing something that was so awesome to be in the presence of the Father.
Wow.
And he didn't want to just let it go.
Wow.
We need to understand that Yahweh will give us the strength to endure so that we can be living in His presence if we truly trust Him.
Because the truth of the matter is, Yosef, that Yahweh's desire was always for us to experience that.
Amen.
Because that's why He put Adam and Eve in the garden, so that they could live in His presence. And I think that we think sometimes, like you said, that it's impossible, and how can fallen flesh, you know, dwell with a holy God? But that song actually says it, that you didn't want heaven without us, so you brought heaven down.
Amen.
He didn't want heaven without us. Yahweh placed the garden on earth so He could live with us, so that He could walk with us, so that He could, it said that Adam and Eve walked with Him in the cool of the day. They physically heard Him, saw Him, felt Him, experienced Him, were with Him continually 24/7, 7 days a week. And that was Yahweh's desire. Why did Yahweh place the tabernacle with Israel in the wilderness? Because He wanted to live among them. Why did He place the temple with His chosen people Israel? Because He wanted to live among them. Why did Yeshua come and live with people for a certain number of years? Because He wanted to be with them always. And why does He come at the end of days and set up His throne here on earth? Because heaven invades earth so that it can fully be a heavenly place.
Amen.
Why? Because He wants to live with us.
Amen.
And because His desire is to dwell with us. And isn't that grace? Isn't that mercy? There is no other God that anybody else serves that has a God like that. They just have this horrible pagan stuff that they do, and they worship this god out of fear and do all this funny stuff. But yet Yahweh Elohim is an Elohim that says, you know what, hey, I just want to be with you. What is your problem? Like, I just want to be with you. I just really want to live with you. And that is why he gave us the Torah. That was why he gave us the guidelines, so that we could keep our garments holy, so that he can live with us. And so that we know it's the same as in a marriage. In marriage, there has to be certain things that apply. Loyalty, faithfulness, trust, honesty. There has to be so many of those values, and the more that those strengthen those values are, the stronger the marriage is. That is how it is with Yahweh. He just wants to be with us. Mm-hmm. That's why he sent Yeshua. He died this crazy, horrible death that just, I don't like reading those sections in the Bible, and I know that Yeshua died and what he went through, and when we get to Matthew 24, 25, I'm just like, I just can't read this, because I know what Yeshua went through, I understand it, but it's like, he did that because he just wanted to be with us, because he just wants to be with us. And it's amazing. It's so amazing. Man, we got to let that marinate. We got to let it marinate.
Let it marinate.
And
wow, we've been speaking for a long time. Normally we go to a song, Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. It feels like 2 minutes. We're going to play a song this evening that was really, really laid on our hearts by Matt Redman, and it's a new song called Place of Praise. And you know what? This song just speaks about everything that is just, we can't offer him something that's going to cost us nothing. So when we come back, we will continue the conversation. Enjoy the song.
Through every changing moment, find me at your throne. In every shifting season, find this heart bowed down. Through every stormy tempest and every circumstance, when life is at its brightest, oh, when shadows gather round, let me find my way to the place of praise. I will not bring that which costs me nothing. I will not bring that which cost me nothing. If the highest praise is a sacrifice, and the greatest song is to give my life, then I will not bring that which cost me nothing. When everything is easy, any heart can sing, but our deepest cry of worship will be heard within the flame. So I'm breaking through the silence to bring this broken song. And you'll hear my praises rising forevermore. Oh, I will not bring that which cost me nothing. I will not bring that which cost me nothing. If the is to give my life, then I will not bring, oh, I will not bring that which cost me nothing. And I find my way to the place of praise again.
welcome back to the coffee break with me, Alia, and with Yusuf. And you know what? That song is really cool, Yusuf. Good choice there. That song is really cool, not to bring something to the Father that doesn't cost us something. But you know what? There's something else that was laid upon my heart, actually, even before the coffee break. And even now again, while I just ran to get some water during the song. And there's something very specific that the Father wants me to share with you this evening. I don't know if it's for just one person, but it might be for two people or for even more than that. But there is someone or some people that are sitting here with us this evening that are really, really struggling to forgive themselves. It's really, really struggling with forgiveness. And what I see and what Father has shown me that His love is like this overwhelming ocean, and that it is like this overwhelming free gift that just totally surrounds you, but yet you have this rope around you that's just around your arms and around your body, because you cannot forgive yourself, because you cannot receive forgiveness from yourself for yourself about things in your life, about things that you've done or things that you've struggled with or things that have happened in your life, and things that maybe you did when you were saved and you didn't want to do those things and it just happened and things have happened. And the Father is saying to you that, you know, my love covers all those things. And if I forgive you, then you need to forgive yourself. And if I can forgive you for those things, then they don't really matter anymore. And if you can take that rope off of yourself and you can take that completely off from yourself, you will experience a fullness, a contentment, and a love of Yeshua as you have never, ever experienced before. I see that Abba Father has taken everything else out of your life in the bad things. He's taken all the bad things out and got rid of all that stuff. The repentance has taken place, but you can't forgive yourself. And this evening, the Father is saying to you, I want you to forgive yourself. And He's saying even deeper than this, you know, Yeshua was beaten on His back, and He had wounds upon wounds upon wounds. And every single one of those wounds were for every single thing that we've ever experienced. And in that reality, there is a divine exchange, because you exchange the wounds of your life. You exchange the things that you've been through, or the things that you've done, or the things that have been done to you. You exchange those things with every single one of His wounds. And it's a real thing. And I pray that Abba Father will make that really alive and really, really, really real to you right now. Because forgiveness has to start within, and that you need to forgive yourself because you've already been forgiven. And the Father is saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, and nothing changes that. And nothing will, and nothing can. And so I really pray this evening that reality that you're facing, that you will be able to let it go. Let go and let Yahweh in, and He will take you to a whole different level of freedom, of love, and contentment than you have ever experienced up until this point, because everything else has been taken away. Everything else that you, the repentance and the thing that you've said sorry and you've cried out and you don't want that, and everything else has been done. You just need to forgive yourself. And if that's you this evening, I really pray that Father will make that real to you, and that His love will be manifest to you in super, super abundance.
Sure. I had something to say. But now I'm not sure. You know, brothers and sisters, when Aaliyah was talking, I came to realize that sometimes we don't always know what the Father really wants to do. And I want to share this evening that while she was talking, there was one thing going over on my mind, and it's this: only one opinion matters. Not the opinion of men, not the opinion of your family members, not the opinion of anyone else. Only one opinion matters, and it's His opinion of you. How He sees you is what matters. How we see ourselves in Him is what counts, not how we see ourselves in this world or how other people in the world see us. You know, there is a time, as we said in this teaching, where Yahweh is looking for a person through whom He can reveal His glory. And oftentimes, the way that he does that is, as we said, through brokenness. When we are broken before his throne in repentance, and when we are broken before his throne with all kinds of things that we have that we don't always know how to deal with. You know, oftentimes as human beings, we think that we need to have everything together. And I struggle with this personally too. I always think that, hey, you know what, I've got to have things together, or I have to try and deal with my issues in this way, X, Y, and Z. But when Yahweh says, I want to deal with it, then he expects us to step aside so that he can step in. And when he steps in, that brokenness becomes a place where he actually reveals himself through us. It's the place that he uses for his glory to shine through us, because it's in that place where Yahweh can work, because we are so emptied out. We are so removed of the things that hinder us. And so often we want to be in control in the way that Yahweh works through our lives, or in the way that he works in our lives, that we actually hinder what he wants to do for us. And I believe that he has been saying specifically to us like many, many things over the last couple of months and weeks. And I think that the fast yesterday wasn't just necessary for our family members, but it was actually for us ourselves. I feel like the Father wants to pour out his spirit in us, but he also wants to give us his presence. And some of you sitting here, you, like Elia said, it's unforgiveness, it's hurt, it's pains of things maybe that you feel. Maybe you feel like, hey, you know what, I don't have what it takes to be the person that I need to be. And Yahweh is saying, you know what, you in yourself will not be able to be that person, but me in you will be able to get you to where you need to be, and I will be what you need to be. In other words, Yahweh in you is the hope of glory. That's what the scriptures say. He in us is the hope of glory, and him in us will change, and he'll fix us. And we started this coffee break this evening, and we felt that, you know, wait and see. And what was on our heart is that even though we are so far away from one another, Yahweh can still deliver you right there where you are sitting. Yahweh can deliver you from your fear. Yahweh can deliver you from your own unforgiveness for yourself. Maybe, like Elia said, maybe there's so many things running through your mind right now as you're sitting there. And I really pray, and we're going to pray this evening, that Yahweh will minister to you. You know, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, some of you we have met personally, and I know that the Father has a great and wonderful plan with many of you. But the things that hinder us are going to cause us not to be able to contain his presence, because the truth of the matter is that he wants you emptied out, but not only that, he also wants us purified. And if we're holding on to certain things, and unfortunately many of us, we struggle with things. We came out of the church where maybe we were hurt, and then we got into the messianic phase where other people, other teachers, other leaders maybe even hurt us again. And maybe we're even being hurt because of our husbands, our wives, or our children, or things that people have said. And that's why I said only one opinion matters, and it's the opinion of Yahweh. It's not my opinion of you, not Elia's opinion of you, only Yahweh's opinion. And you know, Yahweh looks upon each one of us, and I believe that he looks upon us with favor, and he looks upon us like a father looks upon his daughter or his son. And he just wants us to come to him. You know, there's nothing more that my wife says to me over and over. She says to me continually, I just wish that I would see you cry. I just wish that there would be a day where I could actually see you cry. You get upset and stuff, but I've never seen you cry. And that's been something that I've always struggled with. And the other day I actually said to her, you know, this is what I feel and this is how it is. And I was crying. And the truth of the matter is, that's how the Father is. All he desires is for us to be broken before him, to lay our burden down. It doesn't mean broken in a bad sense, broken before him so that he can take control of your life, so that you step aside and then he can say, hey, you know what? Now's the time that I can work through you. Now's the time that I can fix you. Now's the time that, as Paul said, that you can be built up into the woman that Yahweh wants you to be, or into the person that Yahweh wants you to be. And I wouldn't say, Sister Nancy, that it's this thing of repentance. No, it's a thing of saying, hey, you know what? I step aside to allow the Father to step in. I believe many of you have repented already, but we hold on to things that hinder us from knowing the Father more, like mindsets or fears or doubts or things that people have said over us, or words that have bound us because it's broken us inside in a bad sense. It's broken us in a sense of it's crippled us to become the people that we need to be. It's kind of put shackles around us. And I really want to say to you guys, the Father wants those shackles gone. You've repented. You've walked away from those things, and you're dragging it with you. And tonight's the night, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, tonight's the night that the Father says to you, I want to set you free. So Leah, I feel this evening that I'm going to ask you that, would you please pray, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you that you pray whatever's on your heart, and then we're going to pray about these things. And if brothers and sisters, if this is you this evening, you don't have to do anything. You just got to listen. But you got to have a heart that says, hey, you know what? This is me, and I'm willing to make a stand. I don't care about the opinion of people. Even if you want to type your name and say, hey, this is me, cool. But if you don't, it doesn't matter. But you got to be sincere. And even though you're miles away, I believe that you will see the fruits of the decision that you're making tonight, this week, and in the months to come. And that Yahweh, through your life, is going to do wonderful, wonderful things in the lives of other people.
Yeah, I just wanted to testify on something that a few years ago, I think it was 2013, I was really, really going through a really hard season and struggling with fear. And I never, ever watch live streams of congregations or words or pastors or anything. I never do that, as in never. You can ask Yosef, as in never. So this day, I don't know why, it was a Shabbat, and I don't know what happened, but I ended up watching a live stream, and it was somebody proclaiming the word of Yahweh, and their whole message was on fear. And at the end, this individual, this pastor, preacher, He made an altar call, and the camera sort of moved out, and you saw all these people coming forward, and they were all kneeling on the floor. And I had my headphones on, and I was watching the screen, but I actually took the headphones out, and I knelt on the floor with them in my room. And something, and as this person prayed, I also prayed and cried out to Abba Father, and I really cried out to be delivered of that fear that I was facing. It was crippling me, and I felt like as though something physically happened in that moment, and I felt this peace, and I was just weeping, and I know that Yahweh touched me, because it wasn't about, you know, I was sort of obedient in a way to be part of watching this and this person ministering this word, and the Father touched my heart. But I also knew that He could reach me no matter where I was, and that I didn't have to physically be with this congregation, but we were all together spiritually. That's why I always say that I know that He can do this. I know that He can, because He did it for me. And I know that I said, Father, this is me. I want your deliverance. And I was praying, and I was crying out, and I felt His presence, and I also saw Him place an angel alongside me, and I experienced something really incredible that day. So I know that He can do this for all of us. And so, Father, I just really want to come before You, and we just really want to come before You this evening, and we want to know, Father, we want You to know that, Father, we love You, and that we are so grateful this evening for Your love and for Your goodness and for Your grace. And we know that You can touch each and every single one of us, myself and Yosef included, Father, in this. You can touch us in any single place, Father, where we have a need this evening. And so, Father, I want to come this evening, and I really, really, really want to lift up to You every single person, Father, that is sitting here with us this evening, every single person that has come to listen tonight, because they didn't come to listen to us, Father. They came so that they could hear Your voice stirring their hearts. And Father, I just really, really pray this evening for those who are struggling to forgive themselves, those who are struggling with forgiveness, Father, that Your love will come right now and break those chains. Yeshua, that Your blood would cover that and break it once and for all. That Yeshua, I know that You exchanged that You took upon Yourself every single thing, and that, Father, You offer us forgiveness, even the ability to forgive ourselves. And Father, I pray tonight that You would set us free. Father, forgiveness just keeps on coming over and over in my heart. So that is what I pray for this evening, that we will be able to receive forgiveness from ourselves, and Father, even from You, if there's something that's holding us back in that way, that we feel that, Father, You can't forgive us because we still do things that are hard, or we beat ourselves up. Father, help us receive the fact that You are loving and that You are kind, and that, Father, You forgive. And I pray for that tonight, that You will set us free, and that, Father, we will experience a forgiveness and a love, Father, that we have never ever experienced before. Yeshua, I just praise You and I thank You. And I pray tonight that each and every single person, Father, that is joined, that, Father, their hearts will be transparent before You, and that their needs will come up to Your throne, and that, Father, You will speak to their hearts in the days ahead, that You will minister to them, that their lives will be changed. I am so grateful for every single person that is here. every single person. Father, I know that you can meet them exactly where they are. Yeshua, we glorify you. And lastly, I want to pray, Father, that we will be able to build a place where you can come, that you will be able to come into our hearts and lives, and that we will carry your presence wherever we go, so that, Father, lives will be changed, and so that when we do come together as a body where we are more than three or four, that, Father, we will experience such a revival in our spirit because we carry your presence with us. We thank you, Father, and I just give you all the praise, Yeshua, in your mighty name. Amen.
Father, tonight I really just want to pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Father, I pray that every single person that is listening to this broadcast, Father, that they will know that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Father, that you have created them, Father, in the image of your Son. And Father, that you desire a personal, intimate relationship with them. I pray, Father, that wherever they are this evening, Father, that by your Spirit, Father, that you will break the shackles, Father, the shackles of shame, the shackles, Father, of unforgiveness, the shackles, Father, of feeling like, hey, you know what, I don't have what it takes. Father, the shackles of feeling like they are unimportant, Father, in your kingdom. I pray this evening, Father, that you will break those shackles in the name of Yeshua, that you will set your people free to know, Father, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and Father, that you have called them by name, that through their lives, Father, you want to reveal your power and your glory. You want to have the image of your Son revealed through them, Father, and you are calling them to a higher calling. I pray, Father, that they will take the time, Father, to look at themselves, Father, to examine their own hearts, to look into themselves, Father, and to allow your Spirit, Father, to minister to them. Father, it is your Spirit of truth, Father, that guides us into all truth. I pray, Father, for those that are struggling in their marriages, those that are struggling, Father, with children that are rebellious, those that are struggling with children, Father, that don't know you, and it's driving them crazy, Father, as they cry out to you. I pray, Father, that the tears that they cry, Father, will be tears, Father, that you will take and put into your bottle, and Father, that you will hear the prayers of your children, that you will deliver your people, Father, from these things, Father, that they have carried on their shoulders, that this will be a generation of deliverance, a time, Father, where we see the prayers being answered by your mighty name, where we will see our family members saved, where we will see our own lives, Father, changed and transformed because we have allowed you access, Father, access not only into our hearts, but access into our entire body, soul, and mind, where we allow you, Father, to take us in the path where we need to go. Father, now is the time where you're saying to us, yoke yourself to me, put yourself with me, follow in my direction. And I'm reminded this evening of the passage of scripture where Yahweh says that these remnant, this faithful few, that they will follow the Lamb wherever he goes. To follow the Lamb wherever he goes means that you are in his presence continually. To be so close to him that you can see him means that you will be in his presence. And that's my prayer, brothers and sisters, that you will be delivered from everything that binds you from becoming a person like Peter, like James, like John, like the sons of thunder, those people, those disciples that said, hey, you know what? I don't have silver and gold. I don't have what the world wants, but what I have, I'll give to you. And people's lives were changed because they were willing to count the cost in the quietness of their homes, in the quietness of their closet, in the quietness of their bedroom. They cried out to Yahweh and they cried out to him and they stood in the gap and lives were changed. Brothers and sisters, Yahweh is looking for you this evening to stand in the gap over your family, to cry until you on your knees for your family, and to know that Yahweh will see those prayers and he will act upon them. Father, I pray this evening that the hearts of your people will be stirred, Father, that tonight as they leave this coffee break, that they will know, Father, that this was not just a coffee break, but that you met with them. Father, that you are desiring to change them, and that your heart's desire, Father, is to seal your children for the generation and for the time that they are going into, so that, Father, when the world looks at them, they're not going to see Sudi anymore. They're not going to see Yusuf. They're not going to see Aliyah. They're going to see Yeshua. That's my prayer, Father, for all these people. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so, so much for joining us this evening. It has been really, really great just to be with you and just to be in Abba Father's amazing presence together. And so we really want to pray that you're going to have such a wonderful week and that your week will be so, so, so blessed and that it'll be filled with good things from Abba Father and from Messiah Yeshua. So this evening, Yosef, what are we going to be playing out with?
I really want to play this song this evening called Breakthrough. And I really feel that it's applicable that, you know, I pray that Yahweh will break through our lives. that if you are waiting for a breakthrough in your marriage, if you're waiting for a breakthrough with a family member, if you're waiting for a breakthrough in any area of your life, I pray this evening that you will receive that breakthrough. Maybe it's even a breakthrough in your spiritual walk with the Father. Maybe you're feeling like, hey, you know what? I've been in the desert for way too long. I need to get out of this place. I pray that Yahweh will take your hand, that He will lead you not only to an oasis, but that He will lead you to a fertile place where you will look behind you and say, hey, you know what, Yahweh? Because I was in the desert, now I know what your voice is. Now I know what it is that you want me to do. So that's my prayer for you as we play this song.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Shavua tov. And?
And next week, we will not be on the coffee break.
Yes. No more. No, not no more.
No, just next week.
No, next week, it's the 17th. We have such a busy weekend next week with lots of commitments and ministry events and lots of things going down. So we will not be with you next week. I think it's the 17th. Yes, it's the 17th of June, but we'll be back on the 24th of June. So think about us as we'll be thinking of you. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Love, blessings, and everything that is good be shalom. Multiplied to you today. See ya.